Where's all the social media buzz in North Asheville these days? It's centered on a hole in the ground, a voracious sinkhole that has threatened to gobble up an entire office building. It's caused no end of frustration, consternation, aggravation, even sparked its own Facebook fan club, t-shirts and everything. It appeared earlier this summer at 1010 Merriman Avenue, and when the owners of the building tried to fill in that hole with soil and rocks and road bond material, sure enough, heavy rains just washed all that muck downstream. There, it buried an eco-filter wetlands at the nearby Beaver Lake Bird Sanctuary. Nature lovers were horrified, especially after seeing new mudflats at a place that once was a pond and a haven for songbirds, snapping turtles, frogs, snakes, and humans like me who like to go there and gawk at them. Still, the hole in the ground got all the attention, and I wondered, who's looking out for our birds at the sanctuary? This week I found out by visiting the site with two leaders of the Audubon Society that oversees the bird sanctuary.
My name is Nancy Casey, and I'm president of Elijah Mitchell Audubon Society.
And my name is Tom Tribble, and I'm the immediate past president of Elijah Mitchell Audubon Society. And I'm also the chair of the Beaver Lake Bird Sanctuary Committee, one of the standing committees as part of Elijah Mitchell Audubon.
Okay, so what are we looking at here?
Well, we're standing in front of the eco-filter wetland pond. It was created with funding from the Clean Water Management Trust Fund, the North Carolina Clean Water Management Trust Fund, in 1999. And the purpose of this wetland is to allow stormwater that's coming down from parking lots and Merriman Avenue to drain out into the pond and to allow the pollutants and the heavy metals to drop out into the pond before it reaches Beaver Lake. So it's designed to help protect the water quality of Beaver Lake. And unfortunately, some of the stormwater pipes that are 60 years old have rusted out and created some sinkholes, and a lot of material has flowed down through the stormwater pipes and filled up the pond. It's really nobody's direct fault, and it's not the first time that it's happened. It happened about 6 years ago, and we believe it'll get cleaned up. But the pond serves an important purpose of protecting the water quality of Beaver Lake, and the condition it's in right now, it cannot. I'll also mention that natural deposition comes down during the course of the year through the stormwater system, including sediment. And our chapter actually dredges the pond once a year to remove that sediment that's been collected here before it reaches the lake. And we take out about anywhere from 8 to 10 dump truck loads a year. But this is a little more excessive damage than the normal.
What did this look like before the incident? What did it look like, and what kind of birds were in here before? I'm sure they'll come back someday, but they're not here now.
So this was like there's an island and a small island in the middle, and it's sort of a round pond, and the stormwater comes in from this direction and it flows into this pond, and then the birds we've had here before, things like green heron, great blue heron, the different ducks that come here during the different parts of the year. So yes, right now this is just full of mud and it's not very bird friendly, although I do see a hummingbird. Hummingbirds will still come, and the jewelweed we have around here.
Ruby-throated
hummingbird. So anything you wanted to add to that, Tom?
Well, I would say it's really not having much impact on the birds. We've since it's been filled up, I've seen lots of green herons and lots of great blue herons within the sanctuary and on the lake. Obviously, with the pond not having water in it, they can't come here and fish, so they're going to go somewhere else and fish. Ducks, we use the pond primarily in the winter. Ducks aren't even here in the summertime, so. Except for a few mallards, but and the other birds, the songbirds that feed on insects and berries and things, they're continuing to do what they do. So
yeah, the you say you take a certain amount of sediment out of here every year. How does this compare to that amount of sediment? Is this the same as you take out every year?
No, this will be 90 dump truck loads. We take out about 8.
Oh, really?
This is a huge amount. Normally there's water between here and the island. You can walk across to the island. So this is significant damage. And, you know, as I said, it's not the first time it's happened. And not sure I can blame anybody for a pipe rusting out. But
yeah. The this is not, as an eco-filter wetlands, you describe the heavy metals that are in the soil, mm-hmm. or in the sediment anyway. This is kind of designed to catch the bad stuff from the streets anyway.
Exactly.
But even so, it was its own little habitat.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was a good habitat for birds and fish and frogs and things, and will be again. But that's what it was designed to do, is to trap pollutants before they reach the lake.
Well, it got them there. So you have many different types of habitats out here. Can you tell me about some of the different... If I walk another 100 feet, I'm going to come into a place where I always see cardinals, and then I walk another 100 feet, or actually back this way, you'll see the goldfinches, and then you go up there and you see a different type of bird. Do you know how many different habitats are in here?
Well, it's a good question. Probably 3 or 4 or 5 general, 3 or 4 additional habitats. Right behind us is what we call the meadow. And it was created actually last time we repaired the pond. And it's really designed to have meadow type plants that birds like your American goldfinch that you just mentioned, or sparrows, would be able to find seeds and things. So that's primarily the type of birds that would be in that habitat. As you go down the boardwalk here toward the lake, the topography drops off, and then you really drop off into more wetland area. And so that attracts a different kind of plant and to a certain extent a different kind of bird. And then when you get to the lake, of course, you're going to have ducks and kingfishers and other birds that use the lakes. That's generally the habitats that are in here. There's a little more subtleties in that, I guess, but I'm not sure I could explain them.
Do you have a favorite bird that's out here?
Oh, wow. Well, my favorite bird I ever saw out here was a cerulean warbler, but we've also had sandhill crane out here, and that was earlier this year, wasn't it? Yeah, it was earlier this year, this spring, so that's a pretty remarkable bird to land down on our little lake here. So
our bird list has, I think, 203 species of birds that have been seen either on the lake or in the sanctuary. And I think there are a couple of species that haven't been added since the last time we updated it. So that's a remarkable number, considering that in the United States and Canada there are about 750 species of birds that can be seen. So it's well more than a quarter.
The best way to learn about, in my opinion, to learn about finding birds is to learn their songs. So if you're stuck on a bird and you want to find that bird. There's different websites and apps you can go to hear the song of that bird. And once you've heard the song and you listen to it a little bit, it's like hearing a foreign word or something. And once you've heard that song, you come out here, and if you hear that song, boom, you'll know, oh, I know where to look, because I can hear it singing.
And I'll mention that on one of our signs right down here, it talks about the birds that are here all year round, the birds that are here in the winter, and the birds that come through during the migration, one way or the other. So there's a different suite of birds at almost any time of the year. And from mid-March until the end of June, we have migrants that are coming back from Central and South America that are not necessarily going to nest here, but some of them do. Some of them stay and breed, but a lot of them are continuing on either to higher elevations along the parkway, or further north into northern United States and Canada. And then the same thing happens in reverse, starting in mid-August, going through end of October. And then some of those birds that come down that have bred up north actually will stay here for the winter, and we'll see them during the winter, and then come April they leave.
Well, bird watching is a weird thing, because it's at one on one level, it's competitive, right? Everyone wants to be the first one.
For some people.
Yeah, they want to be the first to post online that at the Elisha Mitchell Audubon, we saw an owl, a certain owl that we want to see. And then everyone runs out here to see that owl. Mm-hmm. But it's competitive, but it's also cooperative. People will say, come out here, look over here. There's a screech owl right here underneath those trees.
That's exactly what the listserv, and we also have a text message service that people use. Exactly why we have those, so that when somebody sees an unusual bird or the first warbler that comes through in the spring or the first migrant that comes through in the fall, they share it, and so that the other birders in the community can come out and see it. So now you're right, there are competitive birders, but most of us are cooperative.
Yeah, especially here in Asheville, we're a collaborative bunch, and it's really just a little bragging rights if you get to see the first one. It's really, I wouldn't classify it too much as competition, more just, you know, it's
just
like whoever
first.
Got the biggest fish. You know?
Yeah.
And
who saw it first?
Yeah. Yes. And
especially with warblers of all things, because there are so many different types of warblers that use here, right? Mm-hmm.
I think 37 species have been seen in this sanctuary, and there's only about 38 that can be seen in the eastern United States. So,
well, I mean, a novice can say, "Well, look at a great blue heron," they get excited about that. But to get excited about warblers, you've got to really be into it, right? You've really.
Yeah, you've had to have been bitten by the birding bug. And so many of us, it doesn't take, you see a warbler, and that could be the thing that gets you hooked.
What's the best part about coming out here for each of you? I don't know how long you've been coming out here, but what's the best part, and what do you like to do when you're out here?
I think I'm going to have several answers to that question. Certainly I come out here to bird, and I enjoy seeing, as Nancy said, the birds that show up in migration. In a lot of ways, the best part for me is seeing the people that come down here enjoy the sanctuary. Elijah Mitchell Audubon Society acquired this land between 1986 and 1989 and raised $400,000. Right where we're standing was going to be developed as a strip mall. And so we did the fundraising, raised $400,000 and bought the land, and we've done all the improvements since then. The boardwalk, that's handicap accessible all the way around. So, and a lot of people that come down here know me because I've been coming down here for years. So I get a lot of thank yous. So I think in some ways that's the best part of coming down here, is hearing the thank yous from people that we protected this land and it's available for anybody to come to. It's free and open to the public 365 days a year.
Do you have a favorite part? Favorite part of coming down here?
I love the birding, of course, but I actually, to echo what Tom said, I love seeing friends down here. And so, you know, we all share this common bond. We may be different in a lot of different other ways, but we come down here for the peace and the quiet and the wonder of nature, and there's just really nothing better than that, to escape your, you know, the troubles of life, to come down here and be quiet and listen and watch beautiful creatures.
So I saw a term that was in the newspaper. They called it sinkhole tourism. People that are, because that sinkhole is in the news, people are coming down to this part of town just to look at a sinkhole. Well, maybe they should come here, too.
Oh, agreed.
They should come here, not so much to see the damage, but to see the sanctuary and learn it's here and enjoy it. Not everybody's aware of it, although we get a lot of visitors. But.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time. And I'm going to go out and look for some red-winged blackbirds.
Okay,
right.
They're out there.